Mashaykh Rahmatullahi Alayhim, had some things that were very common. Amongst the features that were very common in them, one very outstanding feature was humility and fana. And perhaps it was this reason of fana that they could make so much of progress. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh was called by the Khalifa of the time, and the Khalifa wanted to make his kitab, that is the Muwatta, he wanted to make his kitab the standard and the status quo. Now, every person desires for that. He desires, obviously, that the kitab that he has prepared is acceptable universally. There's so many people that subscribe to his kitab. Like how we have an internet site in this day and time, and we say we got 10,000 subscribers, 100,000, 1 million subscribers. In proportion to the number of subscribers, we feel we are so successful. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi was called by the Khalifa, and there were some proposals that were made out to him. One proposal was that we wish to make your kitab the standard in the entire Islamic kingdom. You're talking of a time when all the Islamic countries were under one banner, one Khalifa. And by now it had spread, Islam had spread right into Russia, parts of Europe, Africa, the whole of Arabia. So you can imagine how many millions of people will be adhering and subscribing to this. Parts of India, Indonesia, Malaysia. So this whole Islamic bloc will be under one emir. And everybody desires for the same. That what I have prepared and what I have programmed, everybody must subscribe to it. This is a feeling, this is an inclination, this is a desire. And we see it playing out so well today, that in proportion to how many subscribers you have, you feel that you are successful. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh replied that I don't agree with this suggestion of yours. I feel you should retract this suggestion. And then he goes on to say that the Sahaba and thereafter their students, the Tabi'een, and their students, the Tabi Tabi'een, and so forth and so on, have all gone into different regions and different areas. And all of them had taken the Mubarak Ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So if you're going to make my kitab the standard, then what about all these ahadith that these people have taken into their areas? What will happen to those ahadith? What's going to happen to the teachings of those ulama ikram, those mashayikh, and those great scholars? What's going to happen to their teaching? So I will strongly oppose this. Now it is because of this type of mindset, this type of ikhlas, that Allah Ta'ala grants acceptance. Otherwise, you have prepared a kitab, and the government is upholding that kitab, and it's using its influence, its power, and its might to see that it must flourish throughout the kingdom. So can there be anything obstructing? Nothing can obstruct it. Imam Malik rahmatullah says, no, I don't think we should be doing this, let it carry on. Whichever alim is in whichever region, he has brought in the hadith. He's got it from a tabi'i, tabi'i has got it from a tabi'i, from a sahabi, and the sahabi has got it from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whatever knowledge he's got, let that knowledge flourish in the region that he is. When Imam Malik rahmatullah completed the kitab, then many people in that zamana, in that era, they saw the acceptance of his kitab. It is in the hands of everybody, every second person that you come across, and he's got that muwatta. So people began to write similar muwattas. He said, now if he has written and he's got so much of acceptance, let us also write. And when we'll write, then we'll also get acceptance. So they wrote. When it was brought to the attention of Imam Malik rahmatullahi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi just gave one answer. He says, that kitab that was done purely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, that will remain. And then you see, up to this day, there isn't a muwatta that has gained the type of acceptance that the muwatta Imam Malik has got. You have the Imam muwatta Imam Muhammad, but it's called some acceptance. But the acceptance at the level of Imam Muwatta Malik, nobody's got it. See, acceptance is a different thing. It's done purely, it is done entirely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Khalifa had made a second suggestion. He says, you see, the Imam of Qirat of Medina Munawwara is Nafi, Imam Nafi rahmatullah alayhi. So I propose that you make Imam Nafi rahmatullah alayhi the Imam of the Masjid. That's also a beautiful suggestion. Because he'll be the Imam of the Masjid, and Medina Munawwara is a central point. When he is the Imam, and this is a central point, people will get the qirats and tajweed right on account of his recitation. So Imam Malik rahmatullah disagreed again. He said, no, I don't think that this suggestion of yours also is worthy of acceptance. Why? He says, see, Imam Nafi rahmatullah is a very great Imam. Very great, very popular. All accept his qirat. Now, you're going to appoint him as the Imam of the Namaz. And it is likely that Imam can make a mistake, he can stumble. Right? When he's going to stumble, he's going to make a mistake. That mistake is going to be reported from him. That this place here, Imam Nafi rahmatullah recited in this way, so it's going to be transmitted with that mistake. And now to verify the whole thing, it's a difficult thing. It's a time there's no technology, it's nothing. Now, one-to-one, I'm teaching a student, I made a mistake, the student can correct me, I can correct myself, the student is coming for the next day's lesson, if I stumbled, I made an error, the student is going to recite his lesson to me. When he's going to re-recite that lesson, I will be able to reconsider, rethink about it. When I rethink, I'll find out that I've stumbled, I will correct myself. But in a namaz, how is it going to happen? There's hundreds of serfs in the Masjid al-Nabawi. How are they going to know that this is an area that the Imam Sahib had made a mistake, and this is an area that the Imam Sahib read correctly? See? So this aspect of fana, this aspect of tawazu, this was something that was very spectacular, very conspicuous, very outstanding in them. Then you see this thing here, not just confined to these, not just confined to one buzurg, but all those buzurgan adeen and all those mashayikh that had been granted acceptance, they've got the same thing in them, same. They're not considered for name. They are considering popularity. Nothing comes before them. If there is anything, then it is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Mr. Didat Marhum, he's in his office, there was one writing there. And for years it remained there. Originally it was not IPCI, it was Arabic Study Circle till the 60s, 70s, maybe till the 80s somewhere, and thereafter it changed to IPCI. So at that time there was one notice there. And the notice read, there is no limit to what a man can achieve, provided he doesn't care who takes the credit. There is no limit to what a man can achieve, provided he doesn't care who takes the credit. Now, these wordings are very simple, very, very simple, very easy to say, but it's a difficult thing. You do all the work and he's taking the credit. The person that comes later on, he takes the credit, and nobody gives you the type of recognition. How do you feel? How do you fare? It's a difficult thing. So this is that fana'iyat. You know, we're talking of fana'iyat. Al-Mu'ad Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullah says, one person came up to him and he says, I want to make my islah. Right? Now, islah, you get to two levels. See, one is, he wants to make islah in the more important things, and that's it. And one person wants to make islah in detail, complete, comprehensive. You see, when you come for dini studies, right? So you come at two levels. One is that person who says, I want to just learn the elementary things. So you take him to a maktab or an imamat course, 2-3 years, and you round him up, and he's finished. 2 years is too much, sometimes 1 year is enough. If he's giving all the time, then 1 year is too much, and he's learned all the elementary kitabs, you send him back home. But then there is a second person who says, no, I want to study, but I want to study in detail, somewhat detail. So that person that wants to study in detail, then 1 year is not sufficient. Then he has to go into a rigid training. 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, he must do hifz, he must do kitabs, then he must do tajweed, qiraat, learn how to refer to kitabs. So now it takes a lot of time. Just that 5 years or 4 years is insufficient. He needs to have detailed knowledge. So similar is tasawuf. If one person wants to gain the tasawuf and he wants to gain it in detail, then this time that is required, it can't be done overnight. It can't be done overnight. You can't do a crash course. In anything, you can't do a crash course. Someone wants to learn heart surgery, wants to do it in a crash course, it doesn't work out. You have to learn it, you have to perfect it, you have to specialize it. So this person came in and he heard some of the discourses of Maulana. So he says, what about a person who comes in, he wants to do tasawuf in detail. You see, most of us, or many of us in this day, we don't want to do it in detail because we don't have the time. Or you want to do the main things, so on the day of Qiyamah, we are not held answerable for not having attending to it. See? One is attending to the basic thing. The basic thing is tazkiyah and the cleansing of the soul. Right? And the cleansing of the soul is compulsory because the Quran Sharif speaks about it. Yuzakkihim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's reason for being sent, amongst other reasons, one reason was to cleanse the soul. Correct beliefs and correct character. So this was one of the reasons for the Nabi being sent. Right? So he asked Hazrat Mu'adh Thanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi that I want to learn tasawuf and I want to learn it in detail. But now if I have this type of a mindset that I will spend about a year or 2 years in acquiring this. In the years that I will be acquiring this, I will give you my attention completely. I will not do anything of my own. I will be committed to this. I will devote myself. I will dedicate myself. I will commit myself to it. But after the 2 years have passed, then I will be free to do what I want. In other words, in the type of life that I choose for myself, what I want to do, I will be free to do all that. So Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali had objected and he says, see, the question is good, right? The question is good. And it's good on your side that you made this clear. You didn't hide anything away. Sometimes you've got a hidden agenda and you don't present it to the sheikh, right? So that is not a healthy situation. The healthy situation is you present it as it is. What's in your mind, you want to do that, see? So, this in itself is a good sign that you have presented the whole agenda and you have presented it clearly, openly, there is nothing that is ambiguous. Now, when you have been unambiguous to me, you have been clear to me, then I need to be also unambiguous and clear to you. And he says, one is a resolve for the present, right? And one is a resolve for the future, right? The resolve for the present, well, that is appreciated. But when you made a resolution for yourself for the future, after the duration of Islah has completed, then that also can affect and influence your Islah. If you want to do your Islah, and you want to do your Islah in somewhat detail, and you got this type of reservation. See, you got this reservation that after 2 years have elapsed, then I will do what I need to do. So he says, no, then your Islah will definitely be affected. You will not get that what you are desirous of. Because the resolve of doing what you want is like practicing it now. It's only a resolve. But that resolve and that resolution is as though you are doing it now. Because that's in your mind. That when this is over, then I'll do this. When this is over, then I will do this. Now that resolution is like a practice in its own. When it's a practice, then it will definitely come against your Islah. Your Islah is not going to work out like you desire. So when you come here and you come for Islah, then you come with an open chart. No hidden agenda. Nothing unclear. Absolutely clear. Clear chart. This is a clear chart that I'm coming with. Clear slate. You want to write whatever, you may write on the slate as you want. And after the time has elapsed, now if I ask you that you must come, you must become a khadim of the madrasa, you become a khadim of the madrasa. Now if I ask you, you must become the khadim of a maktab, you must become the khadim of a maktab. Now if I ask you that you must become a khadim of kitabs, you must become khadim of kitabs. If I do suggest to you, for example, that you must become khadim of tabligh, then you must become khadim of tabligh. Now that's called an open slate. You've come with an open slate. But you've come already with a premeditated slate, then you aren't giving me the chance to write on your slate what I need to write. I need to write there what I need to write. But when you have already planned out your mind, then you haven't given me the chance to write there what I need to write. Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullahi alayh, many of us have heard of him. Right? And when he went for his Islah to his Sheikh, they say about him 25 years, he didn't look at night, he didn't look at the day, he didn't look at his comfort, he didn't look at his ease. He didn't look at his needs, his necessities, his zaruriyat, he didn't look at anything. His whole focus was on the Shaykh, 25 years. Imagine now, not looking at day, not looking at night, not looking at anything. Just the focus is just on one thing, that I need to be in the service of the Shaykh that I have given myself for. After that 25 years, now the Shaykh once saw that this man here has dedicated himself completely and entirely to me. He has given of himself so much to me. Now whatever the Shaykh had, whatever blessings he had, now he felt an urge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pass it on to him. And then within a few moments and everything was passed. Now the same Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullahi, in one travel from Delhi to Calcutta, and you hear approximately over 1 million people converting to Islam. Are you talking of when? You're talking of approximately 800, 900 years ago. Right? 800, 900 years ago, an Indian population, and nowhere lakh, 9 million. Not 1 million, 9 million. In one journey, and 9 million people have converted. But now this was when he had given total commitment. When he had given commitment, then Allah Ta'ala had put so much of barakat in his himself. Now this is what is the requirement, and that is commitment. See, for anything to work, what is required is commitment. Right? Now someone gets married, and the wife says, you know, I've got so many other works, I have to listen to so many calls, and I've got so many people to meet, and I've got this place to go and that place to go, and I can't see you now, I'll see you in the evening. In the evening, I'll be with you just for half an hour, and you must arrange your food for yourself. See? I haven't come here to prepare meals for you, right? Now, if she carries on with this type of a mindset, then there is no commitment. As pious as you are, you say, no, boy, I can't manage this life. Will you say that you are able to manage this life? No. Why? She doesn't have the commitment. In spite of your piety, your goodness, in spite of your sacrifice and everything else, but when she's not showing commitment to this marriage, she's not showing the type of loyalty that you are desirous of, and you say, no, this is not going to be a workable solution. Right? But the moment she shows commitment, that my happiness is your happiness, your sadness is my sadness, your work is my work, your concern is my concern, your ease is my ease, your comfort is my comfort. Now, when she shows that type of commitment, that this woman has given herself to me, now the husband should do everything for her. He wants to do everything for her. But why is there a change of attitude? The change of attitude is because she's giving total attention, total commitment. When she's giving that type of commitment, now the husband also wants to give that type of contribution and service towards his wife. That I'll give you everything that I've got. I'll give you wealth, I'll give you pleasure, I'll give you comfort, I'll give you everything. But that is on account of the commitment, the type of commitment that she has given, the type of dedication that she has given. Now this is what is called fana. So when you talk of fana, this is what we call fana. Fana of the rai, fana of your own idea, fana of your own thinking, fana of your own liking, your own desires, your own pleasures, your own comforts. Now you have abolished that, you have destroyed that, you have annihilated that. For what? For the Shaykh. Now the Shaykh is like a reflection of the Sunnah. He is a reflection of the Sunnah. Because you see him, and you see him closest to the Sunnah. So really, when you have offered yourself to him, you have offered yourself to the Sunnah. They say it in this way, but what they are meaning, like you say, you know, you refer yourself, you have offered yourself to the madrasa. You have offered yourself to the science of Hadith. You're learning Hadith now, and you have offered yourself to the class. So outwardly we word it like that, that you have offered yourself for this lesson, right? For this lesson that's going to be taught in this year. But really what it means that you have offered yourself for Hadith. And when you say you have offered yourself for Hadith, in reality what you are saying that you have offered yourself for the Sunnah. But you don't word it in that way, you say you have offered yourself for this year of learning. You have given yourself to learning. You have given yourself to studying. You've given yourself for education. So this is how you speak about it, but in reality, what you mean? In reality, you are saying that you have given yourself for the Hadith. See? Now what you are saying, the explanation to what you are saying is that the happiness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be my happiness. His likes will be my likes. His dislike will be my dislike. His desire will be my desire. His struggle and striving will be my struggling and striving. This is what you are saying. So this is, or this was the thing that was the most outstanding, most conspicuous in our Buzurganadin. Allah Ta'ala grant us all for that.